chapter 4, let's begin to read in verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. And then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Hey, let me tell you, when you get saved, you get the whole well, don't you? Amen? Not only do you get the living water, Jesus said that it would be a well, and that springeth forth, and that unto eternal life. And Jesus answered and said unto her in verse 13, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus saith unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. For we know that what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. If there was ever, there's no greater statement in the Bible ever made. If I could say that this morning, one of the greatest statements, that salvation is of the Jews. Thank God that God created the Jewish nation and sent us the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, and that by their lineage, and that of the tribe of Judah. Thank God for that. Hey, listen, had it not been for the Jewish nation, none of us would be saved this morning. Amen. Thank God for that. Romans 11, I said that they was cut off in unbelief. And he said, if that brought salvation unto the world, imagine what the restoration and that of that little nation over there is going to be one day. Amen. Glory to his name this morning. Amen. Look in verse 23. Some of y'all catch on to that one day about that little nation over. God ain't done with Israel. God ain't done with them. Amen. He ain't. Verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And a woman saith unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto them, he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no man asked him, no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? You can be seated this morning. Heavenly Father, help us now for these things in Jesus' name. We do ask and pray. Amen and amen. I want you to look at this for just a little bit by way of introduction, if God would help us. I want to preach in that primarily out of the verses and that about from verse 20 and that through verse 24. But I want to deal with these other verses for just a minute by introduction. I want you to look that first of all as Jesus is coming into Sychar, The Bible said in verse 4 that he must needs go through Samaria. Had he never came and acted Samaria, he'd have never met that woman at the well. And better yet, the woman at the well would have never met Jesus. Amen. And you know, when she first met Jesus, and he's talking about that living water over there, she said, "Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well?" Hey, when she first met Jesus, she seen him as just a man. Amen. She recognized him, or let me say this, that she just saw him as a man, comparing to Jacob. But boy, when he began to tell her and that everything that she had done about her five husbands, she's living with a man. And in verse 19, she's not only recognized him as a man, but by verse 19, she's perceived that he's a prophet. There's something different about this man. He's talking about living water. He's talking about water that you don't draw with, and that with a bucket, and that out of Jacob's well. He's talking about a well that's going to be on the inside of me, that's going to spring up into everlasting life. This man is a little different than any other man that's ever come through. Listen, she perceived that he was a prophet. And the more that they talked, and the more that they said, "Hey, I'm going to tell you something. The more time that you spend with Christ and let Christ spend with you, you're perceiving more than a man. You're perceiving more than just a prophet." By the time that he got done talking to her, you know what he said? You know what she said? "I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called the Christ. And when he has come, he'll tell us all things." And Jesus told her, "I that speak unto thee am he." And boy, by the time it was said and done, she realized that he was the Christ. Amen. Thought he was a man, perceived him as a prophet, and then finally realized that he was Jesus. Hey, and he can make a difference in her life. Let me tell you this morning, he can make a difference in your life. Well, I tell you, as we say, it's different now. I love that old song. I do, because it is different. It's different than being lost and out in the world. Amen. I love this life of being a Christian and this life of being saved. But listen, as we look, something changed in her. She left her water pot, the Bible said, and she ran into the town and said, "Come see a man. I was told me all things that ever I did. He is not this, the Christ." What she come for didn't make any matter anymore. She left that water pot sitting there. Jesus had spoke to her, and everything else vanished in front of her, except "I got to go tell somebody about him." Amen. When was the last time you ever told anybody about the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. Well, I'm telling you, it made a difference in her life, and she wanted to go tell and say, "Come and meet this man that told me all things that ever I did." Is that not what Legion wanted to do in Mark chapter 5? Boy, he wanted to go spend time and act with Jesus. And Jesus said, "Go home and tell your family what great things that the Lord hath done for you." Ain't you glad Jesus saved you, forgave you your sins? And boy, if you ain't had that this morning, you and that can get saved. Amen. I'm glad that I'm like she was, and he must needs go through Samaria. I'm glad that he come by my way one Sunday night and found me, and that seated on the back row of a Baptist church, and that needing to get saved. That might be where he found you at today, sitting in here needing to get saved. God will save you if you'll come to him. He knows your need. He knows your heart, and he'll save you if you'll come to him. Thank God for that. Hey, I'm glad of that. He didn't care who she was, didn't care what she had done. He knew what she was. He knew she'd been married, divorced 5 times. Know that she was living with a man. And you know what? Jesus didn't care about that. Amen. Amen. He didn't care. All he was caring about was her soul. Amen. That was sitting there. You know, we care too much about what people are sometimes. We classify. Well, man, they've been married 7 times, preacher. Jesus didn't care. I don't know why we should. Amen. I'm telling you what, if they need salvation, they just need salvation. He's the one that makes all the difference. Amen. Washes us and makes us clean. Amen. I want you to look, though, in verse 20. As Jesus is there standing there and they're talking, and she said, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship." More than that, she said it right. Jesus was going to say that, there's no doubt. He said, "One believe me, thou cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what." He said there was false worship, there was idol worship, and that in Samaria, up in Sychar. As a matter of fact, it was in Bethel, just in that same region that Jeroboam, when he left, and had the two tribes, that was the two southern tribes, and took them and went north, you'll find that Bethel was one of the places that he set up, and that out of worship, because he was afraid that if they traveled in that back to the temple, back to the house of God, that he would lose the kingdom. Only if he would have known, only if he would have done what God said to do, God would restore the kingdom and that unto him. But yet he set up and that out of worship. And so Jesus said, "We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now he is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father." How? In spirit and in truth. There's no longer a certain house that we have to gather in. There's no longer a certain place that you got to be in and that to worship God. Listen, before in the Old Testament, under the Old Testament economy, under the law, they were going to have to come and that in sacrifice and worship unto the Lord. You'll even find, if you read and that about Samuel's mother Hannah and Elkanah and Peninnah, what did they do? That's when the tabernacle was set up in Bethel, and they traveled and that to the tabernacle to worship every year. That's what they done. They traveled every year to worship. But he said, "Now we worship the Father in spirit and in truth." Not just with lip service, just not with an outward appearance, but worship. And I'm getting ahead of myself. Comes from the inside. He said, "True worshipers shall worship the Father, spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." The word worship simply means this: the act of paying divine honors to the supreme being, or the reverence and homage paid to him in religious exercises consisting of adoration. Very first thing they said was your religious exercise and that of worship was going to be of adoration. You're going to adore him. You're going to adore him. Going to be adoration and then confession and prayer and thanksgiving and the like. It means to adore or to pay and that divine too. You know, the very first mention of worship that we find in the Bible is in the book of Genesis chapter 22, when the Bible said, "And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide you here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." You say, what's the big deal about that? The very first mention of worship in the Bible, and that the rule of the first mention of what the we when we find the word in the Bible, generally that sets the tone for that word in the Bible. But he said, "Me and the lad is going to go over there on the mountain and we're going to worship." What's the big deal about that? Listen, Abraham knew what he was going to have to do when he got over there on that mountain. He had seen the mountain. God had pointed it out to him, and he said, "Right there is the mountain that I want you and that to go sacrifice and that your son Isaac on, because I ask you to do so." Now I want you to think about this for a minute. Abraham said, "I'm going to go over there and me and the lad is going to worship." Do you realize that Abraham had to adore God and that to go up there to worship? He had not only to adore God, but he had to be in a state of humiliation and that for himself, because friend, he's going to have no doubt to go against his own will and that against what he wants to do and put his own son that God had promised him on that altar. And then number three, he's going to have to submit and that to the will of God. And that's how we worship. We come in adoration, in humiliation, and in submission and that to God, and that's how we worship today. Amen. Amen. Worship's a big deal, by the way. You say, "Well, do we not worship in the choir?" No, we praise in the choir. Now your heart may be in a state of worship, but your outward appearance ought to be in that a state of praise. Praise comes from the mouth. How many times we'll go through this? Praise comes from your flesh, from your hands, and from your mouth, and from your body. Praise comes from that. But worship comes from your heart. See, you can fake praise.
right.
But you can't fake worship.
That's right.
God in heaven knows. Most of the time, and I've told you this, you'll find them on their face in the Bible when they're worshiping. Psalms 95 and 6, oh come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. The captain of the host of the Lord in Joshua chapter 5, which I believe is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that came over there in Joshua chapter 5. And friend, the Bible said that he kicked his shoes off and bowed down and was on his face. And that before the captain of the host of the Lord and worshiped him. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, some of my most favorite scripture in the Bible. Talking about King Jehoshaphat when they're against three different enemies. And God has moved and answered their prayer. And the Bible said, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. There it is. And all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. You cannot be in a state and that of, how can I put it, pridefulness and worship God from your heart. God worship in spirit and in truth. You can't be prideful. I don't think you can be bitter and worship God. The Bible said we're to come in to exalt Him. Exalt you, the Lord our God, and worship at His footstool, for He is holy. God deserves, demands, and desires our worship. The Bible said, exalt the Lord our God, and worship at His holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. Three things I'm going to look at, and we'll go home. Number one, can I say that there's a false worship? There's a false worship. If you go back and take your Bible, if you want to turn back there with me, we can look in Exodus chapter 32. Children of Israel has come up and that out of the land of Egypt. And out of the land of Egypt, they have, a lot of times we think they've come up out of the land of Egypt and they just left everything down there and they're just happy to be free and happy to be on their way to the land of Canaan. Moses has went up on the mount. The people saw that Moses is delayed from coming down and they want to have a worship service. I mean, they want to go to meeting, if you let me say that. They want to be able to worship something. In chapter 2, or verse 2 of verse 32, chapter 32, and Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in your ears of your wives and of your sons and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graven tool. After he had made a molten calf, and they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. That wasn't right, was it? We know who brought them up and out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. Now, we studied on that in Sunday school this morning, didn't we? He built an altar. Brother Jeff brought it out. Just because there's an altar don't mean you're going to have true worship. Don't mean you're going to have true. You can have an altar and that dedicated and that to another deity other than God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And so here they are. They've not only fashioned a calf, a golden calf, then Aaron, and that builds an altar. He said, these be thy gods which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Now, you remember, I've got that underlined in my Bible. You need to remember what he said. And they rose up early on tomorrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. I never found where they worshiped. Hey, listen, they were going to have to come in a state of what? Submission. They were going to have to come in a state of humiliation and in a state of adoration and that to the God of heaven. But they didn't do that. The Bible said that they've done what? That they came to sat down and they eat and they drank and then they rose up and that to play. Now I want you to look at what he said in verse 5. He said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Listen, he was mixing and mingling, and that real worship, and that with worship of idols. Did you catch that?
Amen.
He said, we're going to worship the Lord tomorrow. I believe that he was honestly talking about the God in heaven. But he's got this golden calf out here.
Right.
I don't know how big that thing was. But it's big enough for him to all see. He's made an altar and that to him. I believe he's just doing what they know to do. What come up out of the land of Egypt with them. I believe they'd seen that down in the land of Egypt down there. And that's and so here they are. And so it's a false worship. I'll tell you what, we find that in church today. Folk trying to mingle the outside world and that with church. Church ought to be different, shouldn't it?
Right.
I think when you come in here, it ought to be different from anything else that you've encountered the whole week. I think our music ought to be different. I think our thoughts and intents ought to be different. My preaching ought to be different than anything that you've heard during the week. I ought not to sound like a newscaster. Amen. I ought not to sound like somebody that's reading the newspaper to you. Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, I know it's bad out there. I realize that. I know that. But I do know one that's still in control. Amen. And he's still got it under control. But I want you to look at what happened. Listen, the Bible said, the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people which thou... I love the Lord right here. Look what he done. He said, thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. God wasn't even going to claim them. He said, thy people which thou broughtest out of Egypt. God was angry with the nation of Israel right there. I wonder how angry we make God with what we call worship sometimes. We come in and we call this a worship service. And it ought to be. It really ought to be. We come in and we praise and we preach and we study and we learn our Bible through Sunday school. You ought to be here for Sunday school, by the way. It's awful good. Listen, but you ought to come. Listen, this young man standing right here is just one reason, and that to bring your children to Sunday school is that they'll learn the Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
I remember doing that when I was a kid. Amen. I remember standing up here singing like they do when I was a kid. I mean, you may not have had that heritage, but I did. Amen. It's a good heritage to have. Amen. But look, there's false worship. You go and look in Exodus chapter 34, just a couple of chapters later, and God lays it out there in verse 12, and he says this, take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with inhabitants of the land, whither thou goest, lest it be a snare in the midst of thee. And we said this on Wednesday night. But ye shall destroy their altars, break down their images, and cut down their groves, for thou shalt not worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. He said, don't worship any other god except me. Amen. He deserves it, demands it, desires it. He ought to have it. Amen.
Amen.
Worship from us. A place of adoration where he sits on the throne of your heart, and you see him for who he is, and you for who you are this morning. I believe we have idol worship. Surely, preacher, we don't have idol worship today. We do. We do. People love money, don't they? People, whether you want to believe or whether you want to think that you do or don't, some people worship money. That's what they're after. They're after the almighty dollar. They don't consider God. They don't care about God. All they want is all they can get. What is it? Get all they can all they get, and sit on top of the can. Amen. That's what they want, and they worship money.
Amen.
We're living in the greatest nation that there probably has ever been. God has blessed it, but we're money hungry, and we're broke spiritually. Got just about everything that we could imagine monetarily, but broke spiritually. You know what happened? You know what happened? The prodigal son, he went out there and he was full monetarily, but God, his father, had to get him broke monetarily and get him broke spiritually before he could ever get him home. You know what our nation needs? And you ain't going to like what I'm about to say, but I believe it's what it takes. What it's always took for the nation of Israel. We're going to have to get broke. Not only are we going to have to get broke spiritually, we're going to have to get broke monetarily. We're going to have to get broke. I mean, we're going to have to look up to heaven and ask God for some help,
Say, God, we need some help down here. Look at the situation. Hey, listen, that's always what brought Israel around. Hey, if you looked over in the book of Judges, it was when they sat in that under bondage and was under tribute to somebody else and was broke financially, broke spiritually. That's when God could do something with them. Shame on us. We ought to just make ourselves poor. The book of Proverbs talks about there is that is rich but yet maketh himself poor, ain't there? And that is that yet poor that maketh himself rich. But we have worshipped in that money, sports stars, rock stars, country stars. But be careful who you let your children put hanging on their wall. Amen. I don't know if posters are still a thing. Posters used to be a big thing when I was growing up, Nicholas, you know, and put them up. Your mom and dad never let you put nothing wrong up, would they, honey? They never would. That's right. Amen. That's right. Listen, now they carry around on their phone and they can look at it and they can have it. You better be careful what you let your children look at on their phone. You better be careful what you look at. Amen. Amen. How am I doing this morning? Amen. Listen, some people idolize their children. You better be careful idolizing your children, putting them before God. Listen to me this morning. You ought to be able to say, I love God. I love Jesus more than my children. I love God. I love Jesus more than my husband. I love God. I love Jesus more than my, say that ain't right. Hey, listen, he's the one that loved you and died for you. You ought to be sold out to him and love him more than anything in the whole world. But there's an idol worship that has taken place in our nation today, and I'm just scooting along the top of the ground. I ain't got to plow in real deep, but listen, and it's ruining our nation, or has ruined our nation. But I'm talking about false worship. There's idol worship. But then people say, I worship my way. I worship my way. I found a story in the book of Leviticus chapter 10 in my daily Bible reading. And I about forgot it was even in the Bible. It's just times that you read things and you say, oh yeah, that is in the Bible. You know, and sometimes you just forget. So that's why you read it. You're supposed to read it over and over and over again. You know why? Because you forget that it's in there. Amen. I'm with Brother Fred Wilson. When you can quote that thing forward and backwards and backwards and forwards, I believe you probably quit reading it. Amen. But until then, I don't know if I'd quit reading it. But I want you to look and with me in Leviticus chapter 10. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon. All right. Now, they're doing their job. They're serving in that in the tabernacle, just like they're supposed to do. And the Bible said they put incense on them censers and they're burning that fire in that censer unto the Lord. But the Bible said, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. Now, let me stop right there. The Bible said that they offered a strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded not. You go back to the book of Exodus chapter 30, and the Bible said, you shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering, neither shall you pour drink offering thereon. So God said, don't offer on this fire, on this incense, or on this censer, on this light. He said, do not offer strange incense. And so in verse 1 of chapter 10, the book of Leviticus, we find that Nadab and Abihu done that. Verse 2, and there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. So they offered something that was strange unto the Lord. Can I tell you, I'm afraid that we're offering some things that's strange unto the Lord. What folk call church? And what folk, and I know that most of y'all know this, I ain't preaching anything y'all don't know, but listen, what a lot of folk call worship and what a lot of folk do for worship and come in, it's strange to God. It's different to him. He's not glorified, but the preacher is glorified. God ain't glorified, the singers is glorified. God ain't glorified, but the choir is glorified.
Now listen, there's one thing I like is to have good choir singing.
Amen,
I do. I like, even prayed for that over the years. God, give us a good choir that we could stand up here and sing. But when we and that focus more upon how good the choir done than more about us singing unto Him, we're offering some strange things unto the Lord. Some strange things. Music. Y'all know I'm very big on music. You say that's you. You ought to be big on it too. Amen. But listen. Listen to me today. Let me say this. Most of y'all don't. Unless you listen to gospel music, you ain't hearing the kind of music that we have in here out in the world. You don't hear. Is there anything else that sounds like a hymn on the radio other than a hymn? Santa Claus on its own, ain't it? Hymn music, Santa Claus on its own. You know why? It's different.
Amen.
It's different.
Yes,
it's different. Hymn music's different than anything else. Listen, but there's a false worship. I don't want to be accused. Boy, I don't want God to strike me dead. Amen. Like He done Nadab and Abihu. What some preachers are preaching and call it preaching, it ain't even close today. And in close, if it ain't in the book, you need to leave it alone. Let me give you something that you'll understand maybe today. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let me put it to you in New Testament terms here, if you would. Paul, he's come to the church at Corinth, and he's getting them ready for the Lord's Supper. And we had the Lord's Supper not too long ago. And here's what he said. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together therefore into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. And then he goes on in that chapter and he lays out the Lord's Supper. Now, if you know anything, you should. As much as I've preached on it over the years and we've observed it, you ought to understand that this is probably one of the greatest worship times that we have in church.
Amen.
He said, when you take of that body, this will do in remembrance of me. So you ought to be remembering Him. Place of adoration. In your heart. When you take of that cup, he said, this will do in remembrance of me, a place of adoration in your heart. But the Apostle Paul said, you all have messed this thing up. He said, you've messed it up. I mean, look, he said, you're coming together, and he said, you're coming together to eat, and that the Lord's Supper. They have made a party out of the Lord's Supper. If you let me say that. He said, one's coming hungry. One is drunken. He said, don't you have homes to eat in, homes to drink in? And when you come, if you have the Lord's Supper, he told them one time, you ought to tarry one for another at this time.
Amen.
And so, what they were calling worship wasn't even close. Wouldn't want to be guilty of that. You say, preacher, we ain't guilty of that, okay? We see false worship, but then we see feigning worship. Take your Bible and go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 1. You know what the word feign means? It means to pretend. It means to make a show of. It means to counterfeit. But when we go to the book of Isaiah, I want you to begin to read with me in verse 2. He says, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Oh, boy, who's that sound like?
Yeah.
Living in the greatest nation, outside of that little bitty nation over there on the other side of the world.
Yep.
Called Israel, we're living in the greatest nation that there ever was.
Right.
And you know what he said? He said what? He said, the ox knoweth his owner and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. And I'm beginning to wonder, I ain't wondering, I do know. America don't know God.
Mm-hmm.
We even put it on our money that in God we trust. They don't trust God.
No.
No.
They're trusting what's printed on.
Yeah.
Hey. I don't know. Hey, listen, I'm determined that the America don't know nothing about God. Now, whose fault's that?
Yeah.
We're standing in it today. Whose fault's that? People say, well, and I got to study on this, and I may preach on this sometimes. It kind of runs with them landmarks of a Bible-believing Baptist church, those series of messages that I preached here a while back. People say, well, preacher, we're doing the same thing that we've always done, and the church is declining. No, we're not doing the same thing that the church always does. Church used to go knock on doors. Invite folk to church. Church used to love people. Go help people. I know it's different than it used to be, but friend, that's no excuse for us to have changed what the Word of God says to do. We're not doing what we used to do. No, we've changed, and that with the world. Worship ain't even the same as it used to be, but I'm talking about feigning worship. He said, "Ox knoweth his own, and ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." I got a message I preach out of there on devilitis. "Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devoured in your presence. And it is desolate, is overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah." He said, if God had not left us a remnant, we'd been like Sodom and Gomorrah. Everybody would have been destroyed. And then in the very next verse, he calls them Sodom and Gomorrah. So you see the wickedness of the people. To what purpose is... Now watch what he says. It's where I'm going. I'm talking about a feigning worship. A pretending worship. "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of the he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts?" He did. Who hath required it? God required it. Go back, look in the Old Testament law. God required what they were doing. Bring, look in verse 13, I'll come back to this. "Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and the Sabbath, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you and make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well." You know how you learn? You study, don't you? "Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. And plead for the widows." God required the worship. And ain't that a sad state for the nation of Israel to be in, that God was tired of what he required? They were still coming. They were still sacrificing. They were still worshiping. But it meant nothing. Why? Heart wasn't right. No heart wasn't right. Now, I believe we see that more in church today than we do the first. I think folk come to church and dress up, put a smile on, and then we come in and we pretend to worship. We call it worship. Israel was not keeping the law. Listen, they were not keeping what God... look at what he said. Look at what he said down in verse 17, verses 16 and 17. He said, "Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil." Get all that wickedness away. Put the evil away from you. Do right. That's what he's saying. Do right. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. And plead for the widow. They had corrupted all those things. And yet they were still coming to the house of God and laying out before Him the sacrifices, laying out before Him their prayers, laying out before Him their self, thinking everything was going to be all right. You can't worship God with a wrong heart. I can't worship God with a wrong heart. If you go over to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 3 sometimes, you'll find that God said, look, Judah seen what I done to Israel. God cut Israel off. Remember, they're split by this time. God cut them off. And God said, look, Judah seen what I done to Israel. And he said, then they just went out there and done the same thing and done it more than Israel done it. And said, they've not turned to me with their whole heart, but finally they've turned to me. Why, thank Jesus, or God said right here, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He said, if you'll just come to me. If you'll just come to me. Matthew chapter 15. Jesus said, and honor not his father and his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect but your tradition. You hypocrites, well to disaster, prophesy of you, saying, this people draw nigh to me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You can't worship with a far-off heart. You can't worship with a far-off heart. You're so bound up with the things of the world. You may have sin in your life. I mean, just some wicked, some evilness in there that needs to come out. And you say, well, preacher, you're talking to me like I'm wicked and vile. That may be your problem. Just somebody just don't know about it, you see. But you just may not be as close to God as you need to be. And I know if I said, hey, everybody needs to draw near to God, come to the altar, we'd all have to get down here on the altar. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that some of you just need to draw up close to Him. Then you can worship Him. But Fain, I don't want a false religion or a false worship. When I come to worship Him, I want it to be real. I want it to be real. I knew that it would probably be crowded at Brother Ted's funeral. And so I had Brother West with me. He rode with me up to the funeral. And he said, preacher, he said, I'll spend the day with you. I said, that'll be fine. You spend the day with me. And so we went on to the receiving of friends and went and got a bite to eat and got home. And I talked to Brother Brian at the radio station. And he said, I'm going to put it on the hour today. I said, okay. And so about that time that the funeral come on the hour, we sat down in my living room in there and tuned it in. And you know what me and him done? During that whole thing, we sat in there and worshiped. We praised and we worshiped. I tell you, you say, preacher, you ain't got to be in church to worship.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. God is a spirit, and those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth.
Yes.
You can worship Him on the job. You can worship Him going down the road. You know, some preachers will tell you can't have worship without preaching. I believe you can. I believe you can. I believe you can have worship. You just you and God. I believe you can worship Him today. And that's what we've done. We sat in my living room, sat in there while that service went on and just worshiped the God of heaven. Amen. But that brings me to number three. Number three, and I combined these two because I had a feeling by the time I got here we were going to be late anyway. Number three. We need a full and a faithful worship unto God. We need to be faithful to worship. Hey, listen, He's worthy, ain't He? If you go over and read the book of Revelation chapter 4, I want you, I'll go over here, you don't have to, but I'll read what He said in Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. Boy, I mean the 420 elders, the church has bowed down before the throne and casting crowns back to Him. And here's what they said. Thou art worthy, O Lord, receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. And you know what? We get over to Revelation chapter 5, and here they are. Here is, you know what the Bible said? Bible said that they looked over that the 420 elders have fell down again
And the Bible said that they sung a new song. Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us unto God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hast made unto us our God kings and priests. And we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne. And the beast and the elders and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Saying with a loud voice, here it is. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. I believe if he's worthy then, he's worthy now. And that to receive that from us. Thank God. We're to be faithful to worship. But we're to have a full worship. Or to have a full worship, full of assurance. Know who you're worshiping today. The one that loves you and died for you. Heard a song on the way here this morning. How many times do I have to show you that I love you? I'm glad Jesus shows me every day that he loves me. Full of assurance, or to be full of adoration. Boy, get him on your heart. Get him right here. Find yourself a place of humiliation and a place of submission. And get him in a place of adoration in your heart. And then worship will make us full of action, won't it? What are you talking about, preacher? Well, when we get done worship, it'll only make us want to go and do something for him. Or to make us want to go. How's your worship? Where's Jesus at in your life today? Where's Jesus at? Let's bow our heads across the house. Let's get some verse of invitation, fellas, if we would. Have you been worshiping him? Worship. I'm talking about getting him in a place of adoration on your heart. I know I've been long, but don't let this hinder you. Don't let this hinder you this morning. Listen. Listen. You ain't been feigning worship, have you? Putting on. I've seen people do that. And you know what? They're just as phony can be. And you know what? If I can spot it, I can guarantee you God can spot it. Huh? You can spot it, you know. You know what's real. You know what's real. Listen, feigning. Where's God at in your heart today? Surely he ain't playing second fiddle to something or somebody else today. Don't let him be playing second fiddle. He ought to be first. He ought to be above your husband, your wife, ye children, ye grandchildren, he ought to be first. He ought to be first. And what? Listen, he ought to be sitting on the seat and the affection of your heart. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, or love him today. Have a full worship and a faithful worship unto the Lord. Heavenly Father, help during this invitation. Lord, I preach what you give us. Lord, what I felt like was a message for the hour. And Lord, I pray that you've took it and applied it to hearts. And Lord, that folk know you. And that may be the problem why they can't worship you in spirit and in truth. They don't know you. And they've never been saved. But Lord, I know that you can save them today if they'll come. There may be somebody that needs to come and draw close to you, Lord, so they can be able to worship you today. Help in this invitation. For these things, in Jesus' name, we do humbly ask and pray. Amen.